content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast by Ira Wallace. And today we're going to start with July, the dog days of summer. It's not just an expression. The dog days of summer coincide with the rising of the dog star Cirrus on July 3rd to August 11th, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. These are the hottest, sultriest, and driest days of the garden year. In the Upper South, hot weather crops are in full production, and you are busy keeping them hydrated and weeded. And we all know that's tough. In the Lower South, the early summer plantings are petering out, with only okra, sweet potatoes, and southern peas thriving in the heat. Gardeners all over face the daunting task of starting their fall crops while the weather is still hot, dry, and otherwise miserable. But time is of the essence to get your fall and winter plants going. Whether it's the second crop of tomatoes in Louisiana or fall broccoli in Virginia, the race is on. Will your garden amount to something before the first frost? And more importantly, will it continue to produce after the frost, perhaps even all winter? Many of the techniques for summer succession planting will still work in July. We're sowing and transplanting brassicas, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, etc., and also lots of greens and roots. These cool season crops will produce abundantly in the fall and winter if they get off to a good start now. Remember to keep the soil evenly moist, shade your tender young seedlings, use floating row cover to keep the bugs off, and keep everything weeded and mulched. Now for July to do this month, plan, prepare, and maintain. Shade your greenhouse with 30% shade cloth for increased production of high-quality peppers and tomatoes during July and August. Hill up peanuts when the plants reach 12 inches. Mulch them before they begin to peg, which is dropping runners to form peanuts. Harvest spring potatoes 2 weeks after tops have died. Cure and store. Spread compost, turn in spring cover crops, and prepare first beds for fall transplants. Harvest any remaining spring carrots and store indoors for best flavor. Sow a cover crop or fall greens in the carrot beds. Clear out the trash from your spring peas if you haven't already. Plant cucumbers to use the pea trellis. Harvest or cut down all the celery to encourage a second fall harvest. Plan and order winter cover crop seeds. Perennials. Finish renovating strawberries, water the blueberries, take up and store bird netting once the harvest is over. Weed, mulch, and water all perennials. They will thank you later. So here's what to sow and plant. Sow cabbage, broccoli, and other brassicas for the fall as needed. Plant your young seedlings under cover shelters. Use row covers or window screens on cold frames or shaded, carefully tended seedling beds. So heat-resistant lettuces in small amounts every 6 or 7 days. Refrigerate seeds for 2 days before planting. Sow in a flat indoor or plant outdoors in the evening, and use frequent watering and shade cloth or burlap or boards to keep soil temperature below 80 degrees Fahrenheit until seeds germinate. Cover crops in your empty beds. Sow buckwheat, soybeans, or sorghum, Sudan. In the Upper South, sow low brassicas late in July for the fall. In the Upper South, also, last chance to sow more cucumbers, zucchini, corn, beans, and rutabagas. Also, transplant out broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower when the plants have 3 to 4 true leaves, 3 to 4 weeks old. Protect from flea beetles with floating row cover. Shade and the transplants for the first few days and keep them watered. Plant chitted white potatoes for fall. Hill, water well, and mulch. So here's dates for fall planting. Fall planting is really succession planting with a hard deadline. The fast approaching first frost below are sample planting dates for whatever is your first average fall frost date. In this schedule, the earliest planting would be for Brussels sprouts. The latest would be radishes with everything else in between. The Southeast is a big region with a wide range of frost dates. The earliest frost dates are for the higher elevations in the mountains of West Virginia and Kentucky. There, you're almost gardening in the north. The latest dates are for Florida and coastal Louisiana, where a frost is a fleeting event. Actually, most of the lower South is just as much a three-season climate as the North is, but reversed. In the Deep South, winter gardening is the norm, and keeping the garden going through the hottest parts of summer is the challenge. And when to plant for the fall harvest. It gives you some dates, but if you are in doubt, check with your county extension office. Often the folks there have a table detailing what can be planted locally each month. By following these suggestions, you can enjoy fresh produce on your table all winter. And I think for our next program, I will try and get, I'll make a note here to get the County Extension Office for Raleigh. How late to plant, maturity dates, and frost tolerance. And use this information I'll be reading to determine the right time to plant fall crops. Look up days to maturity and add 14 days to that number to allow for less daylight in the fall. Count backward from the average frost date in your area to determine your planting date. For fall successions of frost tender crops like beans or summer squash, add 21 days instead of 14 to allow time for harvesting before the frost. And we have here, okay, we'll start with I'll give you the crop, days to maturity, and cold hardiness, so how good it is in the cold. And garlic, day length and temperature triggered. The hardiness is over winters. Onions, day length and temperature triggered, and over winters for the hardiness. Brussels sprouts, 90 to 100 days, and cold heart, it can go down to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Rutabaga, 90 to 95 days, and down to 16 degrees Fahrenheit. Peas are 70 to 80 days, and the high 20s in Fahrenheit. Cauliflower, days to maturity are 60 to 80 days, and it can deal with a light frost, as well as cilantro, which is 60 to 70 days with a light frost. Green onions, 60 to 70 days with a high of high 20s. And broccoli, 50 to 90 days with a light frost. Cabbage, 50 to 90 days and down to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Beets, 50 to 60 days and survives high 20s. Kohlrabi is 50 to 60 days with a light frost. And turnips, 50 to 60 days also, and the hard cold, it can take a light frost. Kale, 40 to 65 days, and it's down to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Radishes, winter radishes, are 50 to 60 days, and also down to 20 degrees. Collards, 40 to 60 days, and it can also be good during a down to the 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Swiss chard takes 40 to 60 days and can withstand a light frost. Spinach, 35 to 45 days, and it does over winters. Radish, spring radish is 35 to 45 days, and it can take a light frost. And mustard greens, 30 to 40 days, with also a light frost. Tools and techniques. July has the highest evaporation rates of any month. According to the National Weather Service, you can lose up to a half inch of soil moisture per day in a typical July. Moisture management. You have to make sure your plants have enough water when they need it. First, conserve the moisture you've got. Here are some tips. Weed early and often. Weeds take moisture that your plants need. My favorite weeding tool is the scuffle hoe. It easily cuts off small weeds at ground level without breaking your back or disturbing the soil underneath. Harvest regularly and thoroughly, including damaged fruit, preferably in the morning. You'll get better quality produce and give the plants more energy to deal with the heat and with ripening more fruit later. And by doing your work in the morning, you'll be done before the hottest stretch of the day. When planting, pre-soak seeds overnight to speed germination and sow them in well-moistened soil. Plant the seeds up to twice as deep as you would in the spring. In midsummer, the soil is much warmer and the top layer dries out quickly. A light sprinkling of straw or dry lawn clippings helps prevent the soil crusting that hinders seedling emergence. One trick for planting in hot, dry weather is known as flooding the drill. Simply make a furrow and flow it to the top with water. Let the water drain into the soil and then sow your seeds into the damp ground. Cover the seeds with some compost or potting soil and tramp it all down so that seed has good soil contact. Then cover the row with a board. The board helps keep the soil moist. But check your planting frequently, at least once a day. Promptly remove the board when the seedlings appear. Watering wisely. What should you water first? Here's what I prioritize. newly planted seeds, transplants, and container plants are first. Second, plants that will lose flavor to quality permanently from water stress, too much or too little water at the wrong time. For example, drought turns lettuce bitter, and tomatoes will crack if they're too dry and then suddenly get a lot of water. And third, prized perennials such as blueberries, artichokes, asparagus, and figs after they've set fruit. And fourth, herbs and insectary beds. Here's some smart watering tips. Drip irrigation is your most efficient option, whether with soaker hoses or a full drip system. But most gardeners still use sprinklers now and then. Clay soil needs deep soaking, rain or irrigation, once a week because water soaks in slowly and drains off uselessly if the water too fast. Sandy soils drain quickly, so a thorough watering twice a week works best. Sprinkler irrigation loses up to half the water to the air due to evaporation. Minimize loss by watering in the early morning or overnight if possible. For individual plants, make a portable drip station. Punch very small holes an inch from the bottom of a big plastic container. Fill with water and set next to the plant. The water in the bottom inch will keep the container from falling over or blowing away. Don't waste water. Replace leaking washers. Repair broken or leaky hoses promptly. Buy the best hoses you can afford. And shade your plants. In midsummer, too much sun is a problem. Here are some suggestions for providing a little protection. A well-placed section of lattice or snow fencing on the south or west side of tomatoes or a corn planting keeps the root zone cool and reduces evaporation even if the plants are too tall to be completely shaded. Recycled window screens or inverted light-colored flower pots can help small transplants survive their first few days. Shade cloth works great when held several inches above plants by wire or PVC plastic hoops. The hoops don't have to be tall. Lightweight bed sheets and sheer curtains can be repurposed as shade cloth. Plant in a shady area of the garden or on the north or east side of tall plantings such as corn, pole beans, or cage tomatoes. Late summer greens are particularly suitable for planting in the shade of tall crops that are on their way out. Take out the dying taller plants as your greens are established and the weather moderates. A single shaded tent structure, like the one shown on the next page, well, I'll describe it, gives you easy access to your plants or gives taller plants room to grow. Place the shade cloth wall on the south side or add an additional wall on the west side for the best protection. The low hoop structure can be made using the same techniques as we used in building a low tunnel. The binder clips or paper clamps hold the cloth in place. Each hoop can be two or three wires, with one on the outside of the cloth. This will allow you to pull up the sides for better ventilation, and the wires will hold the cloth in place. Finally, you know how much cooler you feel after an afternoon shower on a hot July day. Followed that example. Tools and techniques to beat the heat. Give your heat stress plants a quick late afternoon shower. This won't wet the soil much, so it's not a substitute for whatever irrigation you use. And as always, remember to take care of yourself as well as your plants when it's super hot outside. Work in the mornings or early evenings. Drink plenty of water or cold tea and stay inside or go swimming during the midday. And I'm going to describe this plastic cover. And it's all it is two wooden stakes to hold the ends of a cover or shade cloth. And then you put wire hoops around and put them in the ground, the metal stakes at the base of hoops, and keep them rounded and in the ground. And then put the cloth over these hoops and use large binder clips or pipe clamps or anything, even clothing clips, pins, and hook and put those around the pins, the wire, to keep the cloth from blowing off. And now we have a few minutes left. I'm going to go back to those A to Z edibles that we talked about in another of our programs. And we are at asparagus. And asparagus is one of the spring's luxuries. Plan where you'll place this perennial crop carefully. The tall, luxuriant ferns will shade the area to their north for most of the growing season for years to come. And growing asparagus. Like many Mediterranean natives, asparagus requires good drainage, rich soil, and full sun. Amend the soil with lime and up to 5 inches of compost if needed. Asparagus can be started from crowns or seed. Sow 3/4 of an inch deep in 3-inch pots 12 weeks before the last frost. Plant seedlings or crowns 8 to 14 inches apart in 6-inch furrows at least 3 feet apart in early spring. In the lower south and coastal areas, you can plant in November and December. Apply a thick layer of mulch to keep the plants evenly moist and free of weeds. Each fall, cut and remove the ferns when they die back. Removing the ferns will help. Ferns helps keep down pests. Then add compost and 2 to 4 inches of mulch. In warmer areas where asparagus ferns don't die back in the fall, give the plants a rest period by not irrigating during the summer, letting them grow through the winter, and limiting the harvest period next season. And harvesting. Wait until the second year of growth to harvest spears grown from crowns and the third year for seeds. Snap off the spears at ground level when they reach 7 inches. Avoid cutting as it can damage emerging roots and spread disease. Harvest for 2 weeks the first year, then increase the harvest period 2 weeks each year up to 8 weeks total. Store spears in the refrigerator with the bottom 1/2 inches submerged in water. And the varieties of asparagus. No asparagus variety is particularly well suited to real heat, but a number will do well enough if having asparagus is a priority and you have reasonable expectations regarding yields. For seed, we prefer old standards like Martha Washington or Purple Passion. For crowns, one of the all-male varieties is in the Jersey series or the more heat-tolerant UC-137 are good choices. And now beans. Beans are easy to grow, nutritious, delicious, and truly southern fare. Country pintos, green beans, and new potatoes, and leather breeches are all traditional dishes. Most beans are descendants of those grown by native peoples in traditional three sister gardens. Beans are grown for whole pod snap beans, green, purple, or yellow, fresh shelling beans, and dry soup beans. Growing beans are nitrogen fixing legumes that can add fertility to your soil. Overly rich soils may actually reduce yields, so don't add nitrogen rich amendments before planting. Soil should be well drained with pH above 6. After the last frost-free date, plant seeds 1 inch deep and 2 inches apart in rows 12 to 18 inches apart, thinning to 4 inches apart. Succession plant bush-type beans every 3 weeks, since they only produce 1 or 2 heavy harvests per planting. That's good for canning and freezing. Pole beans require trellising, but produce all season if kept well picked and growing conditions are good. Mexican bean beetles can be a real problem with pole beans, so we order Pedio Wasp when we spot the first bean beetle eggs as a biological control. And harvesting for fresh snap beans, pick when pods are small, before the seeds develop, and keep the plants well picked for an extended harvest. For shell beans, choose shelling varieties and pick the pods when they're plump, but before the beans start to dry and become starchy. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And we will go to August in our next podcast of Out in the Garden.